Blog Talk Radio.
She's the talk of the town, with her pointed interviews and inescapable positive attitude. She's Patricia Raskin, leading the charge across the world to positize our planet with the Positive Living Network. Right here on Blog Talk Radio every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's all natural and totally authentic Patricia, the media maven of positive messaging, with an open mic waiting to hear from you. And now, your host of the Positive Living Network, Patricia Raskin.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Positive Living. I'm Patricia Raskin. Welcome to the Positive Living Network. This is a network that shows you how to turn your obstacles into opportunities, your problems into solutions, and definitely how to make your dreams come true. And each day, what we do is we interview amazing guests. People also on the network have their own program, and when they do that, they bring their program on, and I get to host it, which is really exciting. I also have my very own guests come on, special guests, which is what I'm doing right now. You can give us a call at 347-237-4039. Today, my guest is Diana Garber, who is an international consultant, speaker, author, and seasoned program manager. She utilizes sciences to evaluate influences, such as imbalances, and she is the author of the new book that is coming up, A Book of Hope, A Story of Healing, 9 Tips for Those Who Have Survived Pain, Abuse, and Loss. Welcome, Diana Garber.
Hello, Patricia. Thank you for having me on your show.
Great. All right. How did you come up with this title and this book, A Book of Hope?
Well, part of it is I want to offer tips to those who have survived pain, abuse, and loss, because that's what my life story is about. And so the book is really going back to the beginning and talking about what's happened in my life and how it's led me to where I am now. I call it A Book of Hope, Story of Healing, because I believe that life is about choice, and we can be a victim or we can conquer our fears and become empowered, and that's really what this is about.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because as I look at chapter one, and I know this is a forthcoming book, but there are some questions here, and I'd like to go over these with you because these are the questions that it seems to me that we ask ourselves when we feel really down and out. You know, who am I? What is going on? When will someone help me? Where did I go wrong? Big one with self-blame. Why don't you love me? And how can I win your love? I mean, those are very strong and powerful questions. And many times when people are depressed and down, those are the questions that they ask.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of my background is, you know, I've had 19 major surgeries.
Mm.
And just as many minor surgeries, but the fact that I'm still walking the earth is pretty amazing. And I've had, you know, 5 pregnancies. I have 1 living child, had several term births. But, you know, these questions go back to, you know, abuse that had occurred as a child, and, you know, why would someone allow that to happen, look the other way? You know, why isn't somebody helping me? Those that you think would be there to protect you sometimes don't. And so I think it does come down to, you know, what did I do wrong? We blame ourselves for other people's actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, you know, if you've read like Eckhart Tolle, and he talks about there's 16,000 thoughts that come to us each day, and it's how we process those thoughts that we either dwell in, you know, despair, or we find our way out of it to the light, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the one about, you know, how can I win your love? So many times we become a reflection of what we're seeking. And so we define our identity according to the people that love us versus mm-hmm. taking our own power and defining ourselves by who we love and surrounding mm-hmm. ourselves with positive influences.
Yeah. What is your, advice, but what was the defining moment for you you know, because it sounds as though, you know, the pain becomes great, and sometimes the pain becomes too great.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to people, you know, who are listening to this and saying, boy, I'm in a really dark place? It may not be physical. It could be emotional. It could be people feeling a lot of loss in their life in terms of people who are no longer there, or they've moved and they just feel, you know, very isolated. What do you say? Because, Diana, those questions can keep popping up. You know, what did I do? How did I go wrong? You know, why don't you love me? Your comments there.
Well, again, I think we give our power away. We give our identity away. And it's reclaiming that. And, you know, life, it really does still go back to choice. I really try to today come from a place of empowerment and reclaiming that. And in the book, I talk about lots of resources that help us there. But going back, you know, going back to the beginning, I have a friend, Christy Cassaday, and she says that the word love is in the word evolve, and it's spelled backwards. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, there's a bit of irony in that, because going back to the beginning and looking at our life and then making choices about it, you know, abuse started for me when I was about 4 years old. And what I find is today, I can go into a meeting or I can be at a conference and something will happen or someone will say something, and, you know, all of a sudden I turn into that four-year-old child, you know, trying to get away, flee, the fight or flight kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And once I realize that that's what's going on, I can say, you know what, I'm not that four-year-old child anymore, and I'm the one who protects me. I'm a firm believer that people can't take anything from us that we're not willing to give. And, you know, there's a saying that says life is not a journey, or life is a journey, it's not a destination. And we have to remember that part of our experience here in the physical plane, at least I believe, is that we were put here to learn. And unfortunately, we learn more from pain than we do joy. But it's still acknowledging those moments of joy and savoring them.
And so in your other chapters, you talk about, again, learning from the moments of joy, but some of the other chapters are, I'm poor. Now,
mm-hmm.
That's an interesting concept, because if you feel like you're poor, then you feel as though you have a deficit, and you feel
mm-hmm.
as though there's scarcity or lack. And in that place, it's hard to feel the joy you just mentioned.
Right. The I'm poor came from, my dad was laid off a lot, and mom worked out of the home to help get us through. We lived in a basement home for probably the first 12 years of my life, and we had two floods. And if it hadn't been for like the American Red Cross and other organizations like that, we wouldn't have had clothes to eat. I mean, literally, we ate oatmeal 3 times a day. And if Dad hadn't hunted, you know, we ate what he hunted, we wouldn't have had meat on the table. But that was just life, you know, and we weren't wallowing in our misery. And it wasn't until we started, you know, branching out and being more social and getting involved with church and stuff that I realized that we were poor, because people would make fun of us, how we dressed. And Mom sewed a lot of our clothes. And even when I went to school, you know, kids would make fun of me, but had I not been introduced to that, I guess prejudice is a strong word, but, you know, people calling us white trash, I didn't realize I was poor.
You know, it's interesting, because so many of the people that I bring on the program, Diana, are people who have been through the very thing that they're helping other people do. You know, they've been through the abuse, they're writing books on abuse. They've been through stress, they're writing books on stress. It's almost as though the best teachers are the ones who've been through it. And because what you're doing now is, I mean, you use science to evaluate electromagnetic currents, you look at energy imbalances, you look at working in our living and workspace, and you look at working at how we can create peace in our lives, all of the opposite of what you had. So is that where you get your strength from? Is that how you went into this, was from your own experience?
Most certainly, and I think that those of us that consider ourselves to be healers, we're trying to heal something that we have experienced.
Yes.
And I think that those of us who have those muddy boots on are, you know, ahead of the game because we walk the talk. We know what it's like to have been there. And in regards to, you know, being poor, you know, one of the things that I say today is I have all that I need. And when we approach life that way, it gives us such a sense of freedom. You know, we don't have to be, you know, poor in our mind and poor in our body, so to speak. You know, we really can have a very fulfilled life,
so
whatever our means are.
What do you say to people who have come from that background? This is an interesting question, and they've done well. They've done well successfully, financially, but in the back of their mind is still that I'm poor. There's still that old tape that's running. Every once in a while it pops up.
Sure it
even
does.
Though they can look around them. How do you, what's your advice there, Diana?
Our thinking creates our reality. You know, going back to the 16,000 thoughts a day, they come in and the mind loves drama. And so the mind is constantly associating each new thought, each new experience with what has happened in the past. And when we say, well, you know, what happened in the past, it is what it is, and I am a different person today, and I am in control of my destiny, then we let the past go. And one of the things I talk about in the book is forgive everyone of everything. And that may sound difficult, but actually continuing in that place of scarcity, it consumes your energy. And that gets back to feng shui. Feng shui is about flow, flow out matching flow in.
Yes, let's talk about feng shui because that's one of the things you work with in your work.
Yes. Yes. Well, if you flow out, whether that's the work you put into the world or constantly taking care of others, isn't matched by the flow in, you know, you've given a lot to a relationship, but that relationship isn't giving anything back to you, that's something to look at because that's what feng shui is about, is creating an equal flow, you know, the balance of yin and the balance of yang. You know, we need both. And so each relationship, each situation, hopefully is win-win. In other words, the flow out is matched by the flow back in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's different environments. There's the environment of the mind, there's the environment of the body, and then there's the environment of where we live and work.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I take a look at the energy, and I actually went on kind of a journey recently where I went back to the homes that I've lived in over my lifetime,
mm-hmm.
and what was the energy of that space?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no coincidence that abuse, sickness, surgeries, you know, particular parts of the body were very vulnerable in the different homes that I lived in. So the energy of the house mirrored what I was experiencing.
Did you go back into each home?
Didn't go back in, but I did
go
and do the analysis and take pictures.
Now let's talk about that. Let's talk about that work. I think that's very interesting because you work with geopathic stress and electromagnetic currents. What does that mean, Diana?
Geopathic stress is energy that comes up from the earth. And there's earthquakes that happen every day. I'm still on the U.S. Geological Service earthquake list from my days in disaster recovery and business continuity. And I only get notices on Richter scale 5 and above, but, I mean, there's several earthquakes that happen every day. So the earth is constantly shifting. And so when that shifts, then there's fissures of energy that come up. And if we happen to live on or near that type of energy that's coming up, most times we're going to experience it in some way. That's why animals may choose to lay in one part of the house but not in another, is because they sense that energy.
Mm.
And most times it can affect our you know, happiness. We can become more agitated, or it can affect our health. People can become very sick. There was one case, I work with Ohio State University, I'm their feng shui practitioner, and they had referred a case to me where the lady, when she came into the center, I mean, literally was all bent over because of severe rheumatoid arthritis. And they were doing a lot medically to help her, but then I went out to her home, and sure enough, her house was over idiopathic stress vein. Mm-hmm. And so when we remedied that using a process called earth acupuncture, it released that in a productive way. And within 3 months, she was walking without a cane. So our environment is constantly changing. And there's a group that I work with called Health and Wealth Solutions International, and recently asked me if I would do a workshop on the psychology of change. And I said, yes, I'd be happy to do the workshop. However, I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not comfortable with the title. Could we instead call it, is change driving you, or are you driving change? Because we seem to fear change, and yet it's so natural. When you think about, you know, the animals, I think of squirrels, you know, they're starting in the fall to collect nuts for the winter, and the animals are burrowing into the ground. I mean, it's so much a part of everything. I mean, nothing stays the same. Hmm. It's the kind of thing, it doesn't matter how good or bad something is, wait a few moments, it's going to change.
So the earth is really telling us a lot. I mean, that the earth, if we just pay attention, and do we pay attention just by tuning into our intuition?
I think intuition is a God-given gift. And if we pay attention to it, then life will work more smoothly. You know, whether it's driving down the street and all of a sudden it's like, you know what, I need to turn here instead of turning down there and maybe averting, you know, somebody, you know, a child running out in front of you or, you know, some type of potential tragedy. I really do believe that intuition is very powerful and something we should all pay attention to.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more to Diana Garber. Diana's new book is A Book of Hope, A Story of Healing, 9 Tips for Those Who've Survived Pain, Abuse, and Loss. We'll talk about the 9 tips and what we can do about that. We've all experienced some pain and some abuse and loss somewhere in our life. This is a very timely topic. You're listening to the Positive Living Network, and I'm Patricia Raskin right here on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned, folks. Give us a call after the break at 347-237-4039. We'll be right back.
To see the snow.
Matthew had never seen the snow before.
We built snowmen.
Snowmen!
Had snowball fights.
The snow tastes like popsicle.
His life was turned upside down by his cancer. The trip just gave us a chance to be a family and Matthew to be just a kid in the snow.
There are lots of ways you can help make a child's wish come true. To find out how, visit wish.org.
Share the power of a wish.
My lucky day.
If you enjoy listening to the Positive Living Network on Blog Talk Radio and are motivated by Patricia Raskin and her guests each week, she is available for motivational talks for your group. If your business needs a more positive and inspirational outlook, Patricia can bring that to you with practical principles for positive living. To schedule award-winning producer Patricia Raskin to speak for your company or organization, contact her via email, patricia@patriciaraskin.com. That's patricia@patriciaraskin.com. For more information on positive living, Patricia Raskin, and the Positive Living Network, visit www.patriciaraskin.com.
Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to Positive Living, to the Positive Living Network. And I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on Blog Talk Radio. This This is a program that shows you how to turn your obstacles into opportunities, your problems into solutions, and definitely how to make your dreams come true. And that's what we do here. And we have a terrific guest on. You can give us a call at 347-237-4039. And we also have our blog and chat room open, so you can email us or talk to us right in the chat room. We would definitely would love to hear from you. Okay, today my guest is Diana Garber, and Diana has a brand new book called A Book of Hope, A Story of Healing, 9 Tips for Those Who Survived Pain, Abuse, and Loss. And Diana Garber is a consultant, and she's internationally known. She's a speaker, author, and seasoned program manager. She utilizes sciences to evaluate influences such as electromagnetic currents, geopathic stress, energy imbalance, and other factors, internal and external, to one's living or workspace. Welcome back, Diana. Okay, let's take a look at... I've got to get you back up here on the air. Okay, Diana, you're on. Let's take a look at the 9 tips that you have to help us with A Book of Hope, 9 tips for those who survived pain, abuse, and loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, chapter one is really about who we are and where our suffering comes from. And you had talked earlier, Patricia, in regards to our thought processes. And so one of the tips is abundant thoughts attract abundant people and actions. And thoughts of scarcity, thoughts of fear attract those mirrors as well. So it's reprogramming our mind. So acknowledging what's there and then reprogramming it to say, well, I choose not to be that or I choose not to think that. Instead, I want to think this. So that's really the main tip of the first chapter is the abundant
thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes, you know, when you've been through the abuse, it's hard because, as you have said in this interview, those old tapes run.
Mm-hmm. So, and they're always there. It's just, you know, when they do pop up, it's, you know, saying, you know, I have a good analogy. I was at a conference and they were taking us, you know, into this exercise and for some reason I saw this casket and this little girl sat up in this casket and I walked up to her and I says, you know, I want you to know I'm here to protect you and I love you. And the little girl talked to me, which at the time I thought was one of my daughters that had passed away. And she looked at me, she goes, but I am you. And that was such a revelation because we are so empowered. We are the ones who can love ourselves. And when we love ourselves, then we're worthy of giving love. So there's that, you know, scarcity versus abundant type thinking. Love yourself and then other people will love you.
Absolutely. But again, as you said, you know, when we get caught, and I think that's a big question, you know, that you may address in your other chapters, you know, in terms of am I a mirror of who loves me and who do I judge them like they judge me? What about me? I mean, these are your different chapters.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, and trust comes up in all of this,
mm-hmm.
is what? How do you redirect those the low self-esteem issues and those, you know, those voices that will tend to pop up? How do you redirect that so you can create that balance that you talk about?
It goes back to, you know, I have all that I need. People can't take from me what I'm not willing to give.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's our self-esteem or, you know, our safety, when we create our own environment and we live into that, you know, again, it's a positive, abundant, prosperous energy, we claim our right and we love ourselves. And one of the hardest things is to forgive ourselves. And you hit the nail on the head. It's about trust. When people have abused you that you think would normally protect you, then, you know, you internalize that and say, you know, am I worthy? I mean, that's a conversation that's very strong for me. Mm-hmm. And so I have to, you know, say, okay, I'm stepping out of that, you know, mud pile that says I'm not worthy into the one that says that I am, because I'm the only one who really defines that. Yeah. We're not a mirror of what's going on. It's something happened, it's done, it's over, we can't change the past, because all we have is the present. You know, the future doesn't exist, it's only the present. Mm-hmm. So our thought processes are can be our best allies or can be our worst enemies.
Mm-hmm. How do you tie Feng Shui into all of this, which is the Chinese art of placement? How does all of that tie into the hope for healing?
Well, Feng Shui is all about, do you live in a safe and secure environment? And if you love the space that you're in, then good things happen to us. And, you know, again, when I went back and looked at the homes that I've lived in over my lifetime and did the energy analysis, it was a mirror of what was going on. So there again, it's a matter of choice. If the energy that's in your home is one where physical sickness could manifest, when you take a look at that and say, well, you know, there's potential of cancer, or there's a potential of, you know, even for children, something, you know, there's potential of attention deficit disorder. When you take a look at that and you say, well, those are risk factors that I don't really want to manifest. They're unacceptable risk factors. And then you come up with an action plan. Well, here's how I remedy them. You really do change your future. Mm-hmm. And that's, what, for me, what Feng Shui has done. I mean, I had had, you know, at the time, 18 major surgeries. I literally did die twice. Mm-hmm. And when I changed the energy of the space that I was living in, I'm literally a walking miracle. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to...
Because of that, is there a sense inside of you that says, I know I'm here for a specific reason, and I know that because I lived and maybe I shouldn't have, that I'm here on a special mission?
Absolutely. I mean, not only did I, you know, survive lots of, you know, loss and death, and even myself being presented with the opportunity, which is how I look at it, that I'd be going into surgery, and the physicians would say, you know, there's a chance you may not come out of this, so have all of your things in order. Mm. I looked at my life, and it was like, you know, have I lived, you know, what would I want people to say about me? How do I want to be remembered, and am I living my life that way? So, yes, I absolutely think that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, what I'm, you know, still here for. Good example of that is, I think it was in 2005, we were supposed to go to Thailand, and a client called, you know, literally, you know, I mean, we had our tickets and all of that, and she was like, you know, please, please, please go take a look at this for me because this is going on. And so we changed our travel plans, and then when we landed here, I heard that the tsunami had hit Thailand. We were supposed to be there. And I just, you know, look up, and, I mean, my knees get weak, and it's like, you know, evidently you really do have, you know, a purpose for me. There's just so much confirmation as to this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in all of that, you know, when you talk about this is what I'm supposed to be doing, it's a knowingness, isn't it? It's a knowingness that we have in terms of what our purpose is. And how do you address that in the book for people, you know, in terms of where's their mission?
Well, answering the questions that sometimes we don't want to, you know, kind of go back there, mm-hmm. because we have to address them at some point, just take them out, brush them off, and decide that our reaction today is, you know, and should be, very different than what was taking place to us at that time.
You know, is there another part of this too, Diana, where you learn how to accept those feelings that may pop up and just let them go so that, you know, yeah, that feeling that you had when you were abused at five, or, you know, your parents' poverty or poorness or the consciousness that was passed on to you may come up for you even now. But do you address in the book how we just say, okay, that's how I'm feeling, and it's going to go away?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In one of the chapters,
not to hold on and own it.
Exactly. For me, I was very, very angry. And where I'm at today is anger is driven by our ego. And, you know, again, the mind loves drama. But when we look at ego kind of as an entity, it's just have patience with ego. You know, in other words, have patience with ourselves and forgive ourselves. You know, those emotions will pop up, and it may, you know, be that moment, hopefully just a moment of anger because we weren't protected. But, again, it goes back to choice. I say in the book that happiness is a journey, and no one is in charge of my happiness but me.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's claiming that power back.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about the work that you do and the consulting work you do. How do you help clients?
First of all, I ask them what it is they want to accomplish by incorporating feng shui, especially with the economy right now. You know, people are looking for different avenues to explore because they're working really hard and not making as much progress as they once, you know, had.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times there's energy that's either in their office or in their home that is blocking them. And with classic feng shui, also known as traditional, you really can look at timing and what has happened, when it's happening, and who it's affecting. And once you look at those, what those obstacles are, then normally we can come up with some type of a plan to transform and change that energy. And when you do, you change the future.
We have a few minutes left. Tell us about a client that you've worked with, what some of the issues were, and what you did to help them and how they changed.
One person that comes to mind, and I've written several case studies on clients, but this is a couple that live in Ohio, and he had a heart attack and a stroke, ended up having, I think it was like triple bypass, a series of events in a very brief amount of time, I think it was like 3 months, left him paralyzed and in a wheelchair. And his speech was gone, and so they hired me to come up and take a look at the energy of their house. And sure enough, in the northwest, which represents the head male, there was blockage energy, while the northwest also represents the head, and that's what a stroke is basically, you know, a heart attack of the brain. So when we change that energy, and I asked them to change the colors of the room and, you know, furniture placement and so forth, when we change that energy, within, I think it was 2 months, he was wheelchair-free.
Mm.
And his speech is back.
And how did you change the energy?
Well, we painted the room. It needed to have a metal energy, and the metal energy is represented by the colors white, gray, and then any metallic, like gold, silver, brass, bronze kind of thing. So we painted the room. They changed out the rug that was in the room, which was just a floor rug, not carpeting. And we put some metal objects in there, so metal picture frames, but brought a lot of metal there. And, I mean, he, like I say, within 2 months, he was wheelchair-free and remains wheelchair-free, which is the most important thing. So he's traveling again and has
wonderful.
A life.
Now, do you do these consultations only in person, or do you also work by phone and internet?
You know, I prefer that I visit the site because a lot of people do phone consults, and that's fine, but a lot of people base feng shui on where the front door is, and that's not necessarily an accurate reflection of what needs to be done. So visiting the site, I can see the surrounding area and what they call form school, which is the geography. And yes, pictures, you know, do help, but in addition to doing the scientific analysis, I'm also an intuitive. So when I'm on site, I can feel things and experience things that I wouldn't get through pictures and over the phone.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the psychic investigations when people go into homes and they find ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've encountered some of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
So, Diana, if you're living in a space, and let's say you're working out of your space, or it's an office space, and it just doesn't feel good. So when you leave and you take a walk or you go out, you feel better. You get back into that space, you don't feel, something doesn't feel right energetically.
Mm-hmm.
How can you help yourself with that? How can you help to understand what's out of balance?
Well, I think all of us innately tap into the energy. We've all walked into a room and, you know, the hair on our neck goes up, or we've met a person and it's like, ooh, I need to get away from that person. Goes back to what you had mentioned earlier, people's intuition. So if you're in a space and it doesn't feel right, I mean, I'm even working with somebody right now, they're like, you know, when I'm away from home, I feel great, but when I'm back at home, I don't feel well. I have nightmares. So what you can do is call somebody in, because a lot of times we get emotionally attached to whatever that energy is. And it's the kind of thing, you don't do a self-diagnosis, you know. When you have a, you know, a pain in your chest, you don't say, oh, I'll take an aspirin and, you know, kind of get through it. You need to seek help. And sometimes there's, it's just appropriate to call somebody who's really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is if you kind of are quiet and still, you usually can sense what the issue is.
Yes.
On your own.
And quiet and still is hard to do these days, isn't it? Because we're multitasking machines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tell us how people can find you and work with you, and tell us about that.
Well, my website is intuitiveconcepts.com, and I work internationally, so I go wherever the clients are. My toll-free number is 866-689-6891.
Okay. Say that again, please.
866-689-6891. And if you go to intuitiveconcepts.com, the phone number is on the website.
Okay. All right, Diana, closing thoughts. If people get one thing out of this program, on a book of hope, a story of healing, and on tying that to feng shui and your concepts, what's your message today?
Our reality is created by our thought processes. And so stay positive. Surround yourself with positive people, and that's what this show is all about, and I really appreciate being a part of it, Patricia.
Oh, I'm very happy to have you. Thank you so much, Diana. And just want to let people know, my guest has been Diana Garber, and she is a feng shui consultant, but she's written a new book called A Book of Hope, A Story of Healing. And in this book, she really shares her own story of healing and what are the 9 tips and the 9 ways that we can heal ourselves after pain, loss, and abuse. And Diana is an international consultant, speaker, author, and seasoned program manager. She utilizes sciences to evaluate influences such as electromagnetic currents, geopathic stress, energy imbalance, and other factors. Again, she's the author of the new book coming up, A Book of Hope, A Story of Healing, 9 Tips for Those Who Survive Pain, Abuse, and Loss. And do log on to her website, which is intuitiveconcepts.com. Folks, that's it for today. And so most days we're on from 10 to 1, and some days we're on shorter. And today this is our program, and we'll be back on with you tomorrow for all new programs. So log on to patriciaraskin.com and sign up for my mailing list. You can also log on to blogtalk.com and search for Positive Living with Patricia Raskin, and you'll see the shows there as well. Until next time, as I always say, stay healthy, stay happy, get the support you need, and know you can make your dreams come true. Until tomorrow, I'm Patricia Raskin. Bye for now. Hi, Diana.
You've been listening to the Positive Living Network with your host, Patricia Raskin, leading the charge across the world to positize our planet, right here on Blog Talk Radio every weekday from 10 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make an appointment right now for a Lifestyle Destination Radio Network exclusively dedicated to positizing our world.